right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 25. This morning we have one of those joyous parts of Isaiah. Remember the first part of Isaiah is very heavy. Judgment is the theme. The second part, salvation, is the theme. But every once in a while, even that first section of Isaiah, the prophet just breaks out and sings the song of the redeemed. And that's what we're going to be doing this morning. We're not only going to be listening to a message, but we are going to be giving the message. We're going to sing some of the praises of the Lord, even from the very words of Scripture this morning as we go through our sermon. We had a sermon like this when we got to Isaiah chapter 12, another great praiseful chapter in the prophecy of Isaiah. That was about 2 or 3 months ago, and all of you mentioned how much you enjoyed that service. This morning, again, we have a similar service. Isaiah chapter 25, notice verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I might mention I'm reading from the New International Version. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. Verse 4, you have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. Verse 8, He, God, will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Verse 9, that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Chapter 26, in that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, that nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal. Verse 8, yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. Chapter 35, Isaiah chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like a trumpet, it will burst in the womb. It will rejoice greatly and outstretch your strengthen the feeble hands, spend the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Verse 8, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. And sorrow and sighing will flee away. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a wonderful day that's coming for your ancient people, Israel. And, O God, we thank you that that day has come for us today, those of us who have placed our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, those of us who are the redeemed of the Lord today. Surely, Lord, our joy overflows, and we desire and delight to exalt your name. For that very purpose, we've come together today to join together in your worship and your exaltation. Then, our God, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, this morning as we have gathered, your name would be glorified as we express our joy before you. This we ask in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Some of you probably have experienced or at least looked on at times of great joy as after warfare, the victorious people and the liberated people have celebrated together in that great victory that has been won. Every once in a while, I look over some of my Civil War history books and manuscripts and so on. Just the other day, I was looking and saw this great picture of the Grand Army of the Republic. That was the final name of the Union armies after the end of the Civil War as they marched down Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. And you could see, even though it was an old photograph, just when the photography was coming in, that it was a great time of celebration. And then many of us can remember after France was freed in World War II and the victorious Free French and the Allied armies marching through the Arc of Triumph there in Paris. And I remember, even though the war ended in 1945, coming home in February of 1946 and coming into New York Harbor, and every boat of returning servicemen that came back into the harbor was accompanied by the fire boats and spewing up great streams of water, and boats with their whistles and so on, sounding the welcome home. And it was a great time of rejoicing. That's sort of what these passages are all about this morning. In the first part of Isaiah, as I've already mentioned, the judgments of God are announced upon the ancient people of Israel, chastening them for their lack of faith and dependence upon God. And then ultimately, God's judgment upon the Gentile nations that afflict the ancient people of God, the nation of Israel. And finally, as you noticed last time, we came to chapter 24. If you weren't here, just notice that again. Chapter 24 of Isaiah, verse 1, see, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth. Verse 3, the earth will be completely laid waste. Verse 5, the earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse comes, consumes the earth. The people, its people, must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up. That day is coming when earth will bear its guilt. Chapter 34, come near, you nations, and listen. Verse 2, the Lord is angry with all nations. His wrath is upon all their armies. Now notice, the judgments of the Lord announced in chapter 24 and chapter 34. This morning we're dealing with chapter 25 and chapter 26 also, and then chapter 35, but especially chapter 25 and 35. What do we learn here? We learn that after the judgments of the Lord are poured out upon this earth, a great time of rejoicing and celebration will come. Because God will deliver His ancient people Israel, He will establish His kingdom here upon this earth, and all the earth will rejoice in the enthronement and acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Before there can be redevelopment, before there can be renewal in communities, there has to be the leveling and the wiping out of the old rubbish of the past. And as you've gone to cities like Boston and Pittsburgh and Baltimore and New Orleans, and even thinking here in New London of renewing the waterfront, you know that the bulldozers have to come in and wipe out that which has been. So it will be before God's kingdom is established here upon this earth, that God will come in judgment and purge the earth and bring about the destruction of the rebellious elements of mankind before He establishes His kingdom. And then we see a great host of the nation of Israel and all the Gentile nations of the earth moving toward Jerusalem, the place where the King will reign. And a highway, so to speak, from all over the world will be directed toward Jerusalem, just as if you would go to Orlando, Florida this morning. You will find that airways, roadways, railways, everything points to what? Disney World, right? Everything is moving to bring the people to that place. So it will be in the day when the Lord comes back to reign that all the world will be focused upon Jerusalem and the place where the King reigns. And that's where we want to start this morning. We want to think about the way of redemption. That's the end of chapter 35. It says in verse 8, a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The way to the presence of God is a way of holiness. Why? Because God himself is infinitely holy. Sin separated man from God. And before man can come back to God, sin must be dealt with. Sin must be cleansed. So it is called a holy way. Now in the ancient world in which the prophet Isaiah was writing and prophesying, there were temples to the pagan idols of that day and the pagan gods of that day. And they would construct a great highway up to that idol temple. And only the initiated and only those who had been made ceremonially clean could enter upon that highway and go to that pagan temple to worship their pagan god. He uses that simile and says, so it is as we would come to the Lord. It is a holy way, and we must be cleansed and we must be rid of our sin if we are going to enter into the presence of the Lord. You experience that at various times here, even upon this earth. By way of illustration, for example, you go to the airport today, and increasingly, as you move from the ticket counter and go to where the plane is, you are screened, and you go through the radar apparatus, and you are carefully screened to make sure that you do not have anything that would be an explosive or anything that would hinder the ongoing flight of that plane. And so it is a way in which people are screened, and the ones who are not fit, the ones who are carrying things they shouldn't have, are screened from the way. And finally, not even the loved ones to see their friend off, but only the individuals boarding the plane can finally go through the final checkpoint. Same thing in the hospital. You move from the front desk in the Lawrence Memorial Hospital over here, and you get to a point. It says you must have a pass to go beyond this point. And then should you go to certain rooms, you'll find that you have to have gowns on and masks on and so on to go in and visit the patient in that room. And should you go to the operating room, you find that you would not be able to go at all. And only those who are completely cleansed and made sterile, only they can go into the operating room. So the way of holiness. And we must understand that if we are going to come into the presence of the Lord, we must have our sins forgiven. We must be cleansed of our sins through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. So it is a way of ransom, a way for the redeemed. Notice it says not only is it a holy way, but it says in the end of verse 9, only the redeemed will walk there. The ransomed of the Lord will return. What does redemption, what does ransom mean? It means that a price has been paid in order to set a captive free. And so those who are on the way of holiness, those who enter into the presence of the Lord, have been cleansed from their sins. They have been set free from the power of Satan. A price has been paid for their redemption. What price has been paid for our redemption? The price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember in the Old Testament, on the way into the sanctuary, the tabernacle or the temple, the first thing that one met was the altar. The place where blood was shed. And there's only one way to come into the presence of God, and that is through the cross of Jesus Christ. The way of the cross leads home. Apart from the sacrifice, the giving of that precious, sinless, holy life of Jesus, there is no salvation for me. So it is not only a holy way, but it is a way of blood, a way of ransom, the holy life of Jesus given for my salvation. Now let's identify that way specifically, and we do so as we come to the words of the Lord Jesus recorded in John chapter 14 and verse 6. As Philip said, we don't know the way to God. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So this morning I want to put right up front, my friend, that the way, the holy way, the way of the redeemed is the way through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we must embrace Him individually and personally as our own Lord and Savior. Let's sing about that way of the redeemed. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb, the one who shed His precious blood upon the cross.
Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise Him, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb.
It is a safe way. Notice it says no lion will be there. No ferocious beast will get on it. It is a safe way. God keeps His people safe. We are safe in the precious arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said He keeps us in His hand, and His Father's hand is over His hand, so to speak, and no one, no thing, nothing is able to take us from the hands of the Lord Jesus. It is a way that is safe. The witness to our redemption this morning is, first of all, in other words, the fact that we have redemption is the fact that we have perfect peace. In chapter 24, we read in that song there that the redeemed have perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Then in chapter 26, that's the verse I just read. I'm sorry about that. Chapter 24 says, you have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy. So we find that those who walk the way of the redeemed have perfect peace. Their minds are at peace with God, and even though troubles and difficulties surround us, we are in the unbelievable peace that God gives to us, which passes all understanding, because the God of peace is ours. And we know that no matter what troubles and difficulties may surround us, we're in God's good care, and He's going to lead us through. During the war years, I remember being in some particular place, forgot now where it was, waiting for a train. Those were the days of trains before the airplane as we have today. And I remember in that busy, small little train station, a little child, maybe two and a half, three years of age, running around as little children do while we were waiting for the train. All of a sudden, a train came down the track, and it was a train that wasn't stopping at the station. But as that train came along, perhaps a mile away, you began to hear the sound of that train. And it came closer, and the sound increased in intensity. And as the sound increased in intensity, the station began to shake as the train drew near. And as this was happening, this little child's eyes were filled with fear. And I watched that little child look around anxiously, and the child saw its mother. And the child ran to its mother. The mother picked the child up and held the child in her arms. And the little child was at perfect peace. Even though the sound increased, even though the shaking increased, even though that train plowed right past that station and with a tremendous roar, a tremendous shaking, the little child was now in perfect peace. That's a beautiful picture to us of those of us who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace in this world of trouble, this world of strife, in this world of uncertainty. We don't know what is coming a single day along the line, but we do know the one who knows tomorrow. We do know the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we can be in perfect peace, though we face an operation, though we face a business crisis, though we're going through a marital crisis, though we're experiencing personal problems. We can be at peace knowing that we are in the loving hands of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Then we also have encouragement. That's another witness to redemption. Chapter 35, we have encouragement, notice, as mentioned in verse 3 and in verse 4. Strengthen the feeble knees. Steady the knee, the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Encouragement. Your Lord will come. He will come to save you. So even as we are feeling perhaps down and depressed and discouraged, the Lord would encourage us. He is coming again. Everything is not right now. That is true. Things are not as they should be. That is true. But He will make them as they should be. He will right the wrongs. He will bring us into His blessing in the day which is to come. Let us be encouraged in that our God is coming to make things right. The third witness to redemption is renewal. And in chapter 35 and verse 5, you notice this renewal, and in verse 6 is spoken of. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. Now, all of this, of course, has its special application for the nation of Israel, as we've already indicated, but it is true likewise for us today. It is true likewise for us today. We see not only physical eyes opened in the power of God and deaf ears unstopped, but we also, more importantly, see that our spiritual eyes are opened. The God of this world blinds the minds of those who do not believe. But now we can say, I see. I understand it now. I realize now why I'm here and what life is all about and where I'm going. There's a purpose to my being here. It's not meaningless despair for the one who is an agnostic. Those who don't know the Lord are agnostic, simply means not knowing, do not know. We are Gnostic. We know. By the word of God, we understand, and now we say, I see. And our ears are open to the word of God, which we could read before and not understand. Now it has special meaning to us, and we sense God speaking words of comfort and encouragement and cheer to our hearts. There is a renewal of being able to see and to hear. Let's sing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You even use that name in cursing and swearing. But now that name is precious. Your eyes have been opened. Your ears have been opened. And you see the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Renewal. Spiritual strength. Then the lame will leap like a deer. My, to be able to walk for God. In other words, to be able to live the right kind of a life. To be set free from the shackles and bonds of sin. And to be able to have strength to live for God. And then another part of the renewal is praise. Notice it says in verse 6, the tongue of the dumb. What does it mean? The dumb, it doesn't mean a person who's not intelligent. It means a person who doesn't speak, a person who can't speak. And before we were a Christian, although we could speak many words concerning many things, we did not have words to speak of praise and worship to the Lord. But now, the tongue of the dumb shall shout for joy. Let the people rejoice and give praise to the Lord. Let's sing it together. People who see and hear and especially now appreciate the Lord and who He is and what He has done, and they have spiritual strength to live a new kind of a life, and their tongues are loosed to not only talk about the sports world and the business world and the family life and the business that's going on and isn't going on in the world today, but to praise the Lord. What a wonderful use of the tongue that God has given to us. But they will also be a channel of spiritual blessing. Verse 6, water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The New Testament tells us that the living water is none other than the Holy Spirit of God and His ministry in and through our lives. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his inmost being will flow rivers of living water. Is your life a blessing to other people? If you are one of the redeemed, then you will be a channel of blessing unto other people. And out of your life, into the parched desert area of this world, the dried up, miserable lives of those who know not God, a great, refreshing blessing of the Lord will flow from your life to them. Let's sing about it. In my life, Lord, be glorified. To redemption is joy. Joy. In these particular chapters that we are considering this morning, chapters 25, 26, and 35, 11 times, the word joy, rejoicing, glad, or gladness occurs. And it occurs 8 times in the 35th chapter. Notice verse 1 of chapter 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Verse 6, we just noticed the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. Notice again, verse 10, the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away. It's a wonderful thing to know the joy of the Lord. Not the happiness that comes about from a pumped up experience of what's going on in the world today, but the deep, settled joy within our hearts that God is a great, majestic, unmovable, eternal, self-sufficient, self-existent God of this universe. And that He has displayed Himself through Jesus Christ for our redemption, and He has come to live within our hearts, and no matter what happens, it's all right, because we belong to the Lord. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall come with singing. Shall we rise? Mm-hmm. Let's do this one here, the joy of the Lord, okay?
Sorry about that.
The 35th chapter, the redeemed shall return. Therefore, the redeemed shall return. Wait a minute. Hold it. We got to get the slide. Sorry about that. Okay, I think we got it. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. So we see now the wonder of redemption, much of the redemption that still lies in the future, the greater part of our salvation still lies in the future. The first thing that is a wonder of our redemption in the future is that the dead will live again. When we die in Jesus, our soul and spirit goes to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we will be raised from the dead when Jesus comes back in the resurrection of life to call his people from this earth. Listen to what we have in chapter 26 and verse 19. But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning, and the earth will give birth to her dead. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the resurrection of the redeemed. Let's sing, I Live. Not only will be raised from the dead, but death itself will be finally abolished. Listen to these words, chapter 25 and verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. Those words are repeated so that we can have no mistake as to their interpretation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, where it speaks of Jesus' return, and then death will be swallowed up forever. What a wonderful day when death will be abolished. But not only so, in abolishing death, tears will be wiped away. Again, chapter 25, verse 8, the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. And again, so that we cannot mistake In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, those words are applied to the final day when God brings in the new heavens and the earth, and new heavens and new earth, and says he shall wipe away all tears from their faces. What a wonderful day when all of the pain, and all of the trauma, and all of the tears that are shed here upon this earth will at last be wiped away. What a wonderful day for the redeemed. But I remind you that Jesus said that those who are not on the way of redeemed will know what it is to have weeping and wailing forever and forever. So what a wonderful thing that the redeemed tears will be wiped away, but sorrow and trauma and distress will continue forever for those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, this morning, we come not only to resurrection in the future and glorification in the future, but exaltation, the exaltation of the Lord. God to be given his right place. We're living in a world where God is not acknowledged by many people. Where God, if he is acknowledged, is given the footstool, as it were. For the Christian, God is given the throne. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, if you will acknowledge him as your king, if you will place him on the throne of your life, you will be saved. Well, the day is coming when the Lord will be exalted. But now, for the Christian, it is the day to exalt him in our hearts and lives. Let's sing, I exalt you. Because of his marvelous love, we can say with the psalmist, you are my God. The prophet psalmist Isaiah says, I will exalt you and praise your name, for you are my God.
But the day is coming when God will exalt him. Every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Let's sing, how majestic is thy name. That day is coming when every knee, every tongue will acknowledge his name.